Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. This is Snap Reactions Part 2. We're going to have to track back to Thursday Night Football because we didn't include Thursday Night Football on the first show. We're going to include it here on the second show so that way we get all of the games covered for this week. So, again, I am recording this on Sunday night, so I will not have full injury information and all that stuff, and I don't have, like, the grades and everything, but because of the week, I sort of want to get you as much information as early as I can. It's a short week. You got all that stuff, all the goings on of Thanksgiving. So this is a week, I think, to get you as much information as I possibly can, as soon as I can possibly get it to you. And that's more actionable than sort of a deep dive analysis on expected points or something like that this week anyways. So maybe that's a next week project. So, all right. So Thursday Night Football. And the Packers basically kind of lost their way to not being, they kind of fall out of the, the playoff hunt, I would say, with this. They seem like an unlikely team to go to the playoffs now at 4-7. Rodgers, 2 touchdowns, right? It's 227. Aaron Jones, 12 for 40 on the ground. A.J. Dillon, 6 for 13. Dillon goes 1 for 10 receiving. Christian Watson scores 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones kind of buoys his fantasy day by getting 6 receptions. So he basically finished 12 points. Like, yeesh. Like, it's tough. Rodgers kind of tough to trust as well. I would say, as a strategic matter, if you're thinking about, going forward, if you've got some Stafford teams, if you've got some Rodgers teams, right? You might be in a situation where you're like, hey, let's go out and buy Derek Carr. Let's go out and buy Brady. This might be a Brady time, I would be thinking about different ways to potentially address the position because I'm not sure how much you're going to want to trust Stafford, even if and when he comes back. I'm not sure the amount of time which he's going to be out. Same thing with the Packers. With Rodgers, he's going to be here, but I don't know how much you can trust him in a given week. So those would just be some things I'd think about trying to address the position, and maybe you can go out and even address it with a guy like Ryan Tannehill. It's crazy, as crazy as that is. 333 yards. They get Treylon Burks. Robert Woods coming back. Right? Can you potentially get some good production out of those two guys? 7 for 111 for Treylon Burks, 6 for 69 for Robert Woods. Derrick Henry goes for 45 yards receiving. They get something out of Austin Hooper as well. A couple of touchdowns for Austin Hooper. So a guy like Tannehill has kind of overperformed expectations for a while, at least, fantasy wise anyways, and on the field, right? Like, he hasn't been, if you sort of look at where the scheme around him, or not the scheme, really the players around him, to see him consistently be kind of like in that quarterback 1-2, in that sphere that's pretty close in there, it's actually been pretty impressive from given the talent around him. So to see him go 333 yards and 2 touchdowns again with a rookie wide receiver and a guy who's frankly slowly coming back from an ACL injury, and a running back who doesn't really catch the ball that well historically, like, Daniel's rubbing some sticks together and making some noise. So that's just a name to think about if you're trying to address some of these positions. 28 carries for Derrick Henry, 87 yards, only 3.1 yards per carry. I'm in the business of potentially trying to go out and get myself some Derrick Henry if I'm contending. It would sort of be my thought. If you look at him, over at Keep Trade Cut, for example, I'd be, again, this is one of those situations where you kind of want to pay from below it instead of coming down to it, would sort of be the, be the thought, or going laterally at the position. You want to sort of go, where you have some concerns about the long-term, security, right? His longevity. You want to pay from uncertainty, basically package uncertainty up to get to a guy like Henry instead of taking something more certain and coming down to a guy like Derrick Henry. So that would just be something I would think about. Is a Brian Robinson plus type package something that can get done for a guy that's not contending? Is that something you could potentially pull off, right? That would be a place that I would think about potentially trying to address, you know, get an upgrade if I'm contending. So that's going to be a move I'll make this week. And Treylon Burks, really good for him. I'm not sure how much we're going to trust Austin Hooper in any given week, if we're being totally honest with ourselves. Austin Hooper did have 15 routes, but it was on 32 dropbacks. So Shig Okongwu, actually 14 routes as well, two targets. So he's a name deeper down the list that might be available in your leagues. All right, next up, we'll turn here to Vegas and Denver. It was a walk-off go-homer for Davante Adams. I saw an amazing tweet that said, you know, it was something effective like Denver said, we're not going to let Keelan Cole beat us on this play. And there was like double coverage on Keelan Cole while Davante Adams ran wide open. And then it just said, and they succeeded. And it was just, it felt so appropriate. It just hit me right where I was going to chuckle. Couple of things here. Keelan Cole, like we're going to joke about the Keelan Cole mishap by Denver's defense, but 31 out of 38 routes. So a name deeper down, if you're looking, you know, if you're in sort of, you know, streamer heck for, you know, later on in your roster, something like that, you need routes. Like Keelan Cole's a guy that probably going to participate a lot. Pretty limited, right? This is almost Minnesota West, right? Remember last week we talked about how Minnesota very condensed. Of course, this week they're not because they get blown out, so they get other guys involved. But very much like it's four or five guys getting kind of crammed in terms of usage. Not quite the same because you get a little bit of you know, some running back work here. We'll talk about that in a second. But amongst the receivers and the tight ends, it's all consolidated into four guys. Hollins, 100% route participation. Adams, 100% route participation. Keelan Cole, 31 out of 38. So, again, pretty good. And then Foster Moreau, 24 out of 38. So, that's pretty tight. Again, no other tight end participates. So, that's pretty good in terms of like a consolidation of the workload there. So again, Keelan Cole, a guy doesn't have a huge threat. Again, if something were to happen to Mac Hollins, like something were to happen to Davante Adams, all of a sudden, like it's really, it's Keelan Cole season, especially with our Hunter Renfro out, right. And Waller out. So Jacobs here, 19 routes on 38 dropbacks. He is participating on 53 out of 66 snaps. It's basically Amir Abdullah right after him, Brandon Bolden thereafter, Nozemir White. Four targets for Jacobs, so he gets 24 carries in this game. Again, I thought he looked really good. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just kind of had it on, you know, doing some other things while Red Zone was on. But thought he looked pretty good. Again, 24 carries, 109 yards, 4.5 yards per carry. You'll take that. 3 for 51. Again, so he goes basically 27 touches for a $160. Like, yeah, you'll take that. It'll take that, and it's a, what's that, a 19-point fantasy game without a touchdown. Like, that's a tough, like, that's hard to do, and he's capable of doing that. That's a really good performance. You know, it's a high consolidation of the workload for Jacobs, so pretty encouraging there. Performance for him. On the other side, again, Derek Carr, 37 attempts, 307 yards, 8.3 yards per attempt, and two touchdowns, like one sack, like pretty clean game. Again, I don't know if they've got like a true run in them, right? They're 3-7. It's a long ways, like that's a long ways back to go. But I keep thinking of like trying to keep open minds to things. You know, is this a team that could win 10 in a row? Like, it's going to be tough in that division. Like, they got to go to Seattle. Or, you know, I guess that's actually 7 in a row, right, to get to 10 wins, to get 7 in a row. Like, Seattle, like, they're home against Los Angeles. Chargers, then they go to the Rams. Then they get the Patriots at Pittsburgh. They're home against San Francisco, home against Kansas City. So, like, if they – like, if this – again, it's they would probably have to get to 10 wins to get in, and that would basically require them to win out. I think that's unlikely, but like you could see all of a sudden this team gets some real, you know, next week's no gimme, especially with that team coming at Seattle, coming off a bye at Seattle. But if they can get through that, you know, can they play? They can play the Chargers, right? They can beat the Rams, right? That'll be a Thursday night football game. It's going to be tough for New England to match them offensively on Sunday night football in that game. Like, they're better than Pittsburgh, right? And so all of a sudden, like, you're playing into December, you know, into January, and this could be a team that could really look hot. Now, again, just as plausible, 5-12. Like, just as plausible. Now that I'm sort of talking them up, 5-12, totally. I've jinxed them. Denver, for their part, they feel like a team that's couldn't possibly turn it around. So, of course, they'll finish ahead of the Raiders. I actually thought Russell Wilson looked good in this game. He at least looked good early. And again, he had that Kendall Hinton, which should have been a touchdown to Kendall Hinton. He's called out like right before, you know, the end zone, thought that was going to be a touchdown, but they came out like cooking and then got bogged down. It's like the 247 on 31 attempts. It's 8 yards per attempt. Like, that actually feels pretty good. The QBR stuff, not great. He's take 3 sacks. Like, again, you don't have a touchdown. So it's 100 quarterback rating, but you don't have a touchdown. So, you know, it's encouraging, right? Like, at least it's better than what could have been is, I guess, the thought, you know, what has been, right? This is actually a bit of a bounce back rebound game for him. Latavius Murray, 17 carries, 49 yards and a touchdown. He plays ahead of Melvin Gordon, 8 carries, 31 yards. And Chase Edmonds, a couple of carries and 6 yards in this game. But Chase Edmonds very much feels buried. Chase Edmonds played a total of 3 snaps and ran 1 route, 2 carries. Melvin Gordon ran more routes, 14 out of 35, though. So, again, that's not great. Latavius Murray had 11 routes, 4 targets there for Murray as well. You look at the receiving, the receiving angle to this. It's Kendall Hinton being the wide receiver 2 when Judy's out. Sutton, 34 routes on 35 dropbacks, 7 targets. Hinton, 28 routes, 3 targets. So, again, he's not going to draw the most efficient usage, but the participation is high and relevant, I think, for, you know, some streaming opportunities here, especially with some guys in our orbit potentially being injured and on buys and stuff like that this week. He was certainly relevant. I had him in a couple of spots. Again, I thought the touchdown, like, right off the bat, I was like, this is great, but didn't come to fruition. But you'll take it with basically 8.7 fantasy points from a streaming guy. You'll take that. So, so that's really the story there. Again, Dulcich, 4 for 30, you know, simmering. I think there's better games ahead. I think he's on a pretty positive trajectory so far to start his career. All right, that will and by the way, I'll just sort of hit the Denver running back usage here for a second. Melvin Gordon, basically the third down guy. Latavius Murray playing over him on early downs. And they're even, basically, pretty close on plays. 32 plays total for Latavius Murray, 29 for Melvin Gordon. They had 3 red goal line carries. Melvin Gordon had 2 of them. They had 3 short yardage, and Latavius Murray had 2 of them. So, with Melvin Gordon playing in the third down role, 70% of the snaps is probably the biggest takeaway you can take from this game. And again, Mac Hollins streaming perfectly fine on sort of that wide receiver 3-4 type range. It's basically it's really good participation. So you just take it, and it's not a receiving core that has a lot of like other options in it. So he's participating, and there's not a ton of competition for other attention. So you can be in on that. All right, next up here we have Minnesota and Dallas, and this game got out of hand. I thought it was interesting that Dallas was a favorite on the road in this game, considering the fact that Minnesota's, like, whatever they were, I think they had 1 loss coming into this game. And Dallas went in and opened up a can. So good performance there by Dallas. I thought Dak looked pretty good. I don't have, again, the overall metrics, and you're not here for Jordan film guy, but I thought he looked pretty good. I thought, you know, I saw him run, and actually saw him run what I thought would be pretty well. He had an 11-yard carry, and I'm pretty sure that's the one that I was like, oh, okay, like, all right, feels pretty good, a little zone read action. So that was encouraging. Again, I've talked about this, like, hey, if he can throw in, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 yards, something like that, he gets 16 in this game. You know, if it's a quarter of a rushing touchdown a game, something like that, like all of a sudden, like that's a pretty good jump start to his fantasy day. The big story I think in this game is the running backs. Pollard goes 21 touches. He goes 15 for 80 on the ground, so that's pretty good. He goes 6 for 109 through the air. That's two touchdowns as well. He's making himself a lot of money. This feels very Austin Eckler-ish, a little bit later career Austin Eckler-ish, but that feels very much like the type of player that he could become. So I'm interested to watch sort of what he gets paid. Again, I did this stuff where I kind of looked at his contract. What was it? Maybe last week, the week before, something like that. And I was like, all right, like what kind of does he look like? And it's very much Austin Eckler type contract expectation for him. So, but he's been really good. So it'll be really interesting how this situation unfolds for him. That's going to be super interesting going forward. Again, I think he's a running back two type player right now. I think Zeke probably in that same running back two flex play type thing. You know, Zeke can score a couple of goal line touchdowns and all of a sudden it looks double digit fantasy points. It's what, 16 fantasy points. I don't think he had a catch. One catch for 5 yards. Yeah. I mean, you're looking over 15 fantasy points again, based on two touchdowns, right? That certainly does help. But I think he's in that running back two type flex play. I think if I had both of them, I'd probably play Pollard over Zeke right now, just because I think he's got a little bit more. He's got more outs if you're thinking like poker wise. Schultz here, 3 for 22. Again, 5 targets. Dak threw it 25 times, so that's a pretty good. That's decent for him in this game. Doesn't really cash it in, but you'll take 5 out of Dak's 25 attempts. There's 30 attempts overall. Cooper Rush went 4 for 5 in the game. But yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 45. Again, he's going to have these sort of uptick games. I think it was like last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that he had that huge performance. You get some of this, right? I tend to think he's not a true wide receiver one in like the purest form of that, right? Like, I don't think he's a true, he's not in the Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, you could keep kind of going to Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, right? He's just not in that sphere, but he's in like the next sphere, which honestly, like, it's funny. We'll talk about this team in a bit, but almost feels like a little bit more T. Higgins-ish than he does necessarily being like a Justin Jefferson type. Again, that's really good, but you tend to see a little bit more variance in a guy that's in sort of that T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb level than you do in that next tier up. And when you pay that next tier up for a guy, it's a lot. You know, that's a lot to have to pay for a guy that you feel like you're getting kind of not that super confident week to week consistent workload. Anyways, you know, we tend to poo-poo the are you not consistency, but it just feels like CeeDee Lamb comes and goes a little bit more than you'd want by paying someone like top 6 wide receiver value. So all right, so that's pretty much that. Again, Noah Brown involved, Gallup involved. I saw Gallup had a really nice play in this game as well. Gallup, for his part, 22 routes out of 33 dropbacks. Again, keep in mind that there's some of this was garbage time. Like Noah Brown led with 24 routes and 33 dropbacks, 23 for CeeDee Lamb. So you don't necessarily look at that and be like, oh, they're down. You know, CeeDee Lamb's kind of fading back towards last year. That was all kind of garbage time stuff that he wasn't involved in. So, so that's pretty much the story there. And then, for example, Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot each ran 10 routes. Again, so you look at that Schultz number of 5 targets, 21 dropbacks. Like all of a sudden, like he's targeted on almost 25% of his of his routes. In a game, they were pretty clean, pretty efficient. Like, you're actually, like, there's some optimism there. So I'd be interested in buying Schultz potentially low, you know, as we look kind of forward going down the stretch here. I think he can potentially see an uptick even over where he's been. And then, yeah, let's just see here. Pollard did play 38 out of the snaps. And that was ahead of, no, it's actually 39, excuse me. Zeke played 21, Pollard 20 routes to 5 for Zeke. And again, they 16 to 15 carries. So this feels very much like Pollard ahead of Zeke right now. And we'll see sort of going forward. I like Pollard ahead of Zeke just because I like the more juice that Pollard potentially has in this in your starting lineup, right? You can see some of this big play stuff where it feels a lot more. Zeke has to basically kind of, you know, it's got to be a really good situation for Zeke to really make it work. So that's kind of the take there. All right, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. And I felt kind of going into this game, I was like, is this going to be one of those Tomlin voodoo games where, you know, it's like 16-13 and, you know, it's, you know, they really hold Burrow down. And, you know, it's you know, one of these games where it's really tough on Burrow. Didn't exactly come to fruition. Like, they mucked it up a little bit, but Burrow goes 355 and 4 touchdowns. He is sacked twice. He is picked off twice. So the 39 attempts and only 2 sacks, that's actually a notable thing. I think the big question from this game is going to be the Joe Mixon injury status. Goes out, leaves with a concussion. Samaje Perine comes in 11 for 30 on the ground, but 4 for 52 and 3 touchdowns. Scat back 250-pound Samaje Perine. Just you know, personifying the scat back usage, you know, the prototype there for the scat back, Samaje Perine. I still am fascinated by the fact that Joe Mixon was like the you know, the lightning to Samaje Perine's thunder at Oklahoma, and now, like, fast forward, you know, onto their second contracts, like, Samaje Perine's bounced around a bit, but now it's actually Samaje Perine being the lightning to the Joe Mixon thunder. I just find that humorous, and I'll forever find that humorous. The big performance here, T. Higgins, he goes 9 for 148, and he just seemed open. Again, I didn't watch a ton of this, but I had Red Zone on as I was working, doing some other stuff. Just felt like it was a tough cover on him. Like, they had a really hard time with him. 11 targets on 38 routes. Like, that checks out, right? Runs 38 routes and 42 dropbacks. So really good performance there for him. Again, some of the question has been, like, I think there's, like, a couple of questions that I have about T. Higgins. Number one is sort of how much different is he from a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, right? It's a very similar, right? If you want to bet on Burrow and you don't want to necessarily pay a first-round startup pick to bet on Burrow, but you sort of like betting on, right? You kind of like the situation. You can say, okay, I could bet on Chase, but again, Chase is about the same cost as Burrow, or you could sort of go a little bit cheaper and bet on a guy like Higgins. I thought, like, there was a chance that Higgins was actually the better guy. Like, again, he would be an underdog to that. I think it's kind of been proven out that Chase is the better player. I think he's a better player than Higgins is. And you can kind of see that with, like, again, there's a little bit of the CeeDee Lamb Higgins thing going on there, right? Like, you kind of see him ebb and flow a little bit in a way that, like, a really good, like, an maybe even an excellent wide receiver 2 does, but a wide receiver 1 kind of doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, even in a down game, like, it's a 15-point game for Diggs, right? Because he finds a way into the end zone and he goes 4 for 54, or, you know, whatever he did this week, you know, 4 for 50 and a touchdown, and all of a sudden, like, all right, like, it wasn't a great game, but it was, like, really good. Where Higgins can kind of, you know, he can drop, like, a 6-pointer on you, right? Which is, like, ugh. Which you tend to get a little bit less on that than you do, like, kind of those elite wide receiver ones. So, again, I think Higgins is definitely in that next group. That's not a knock. Again, I like him sort of, like, I actually like him, you know, relative to the position, probably as much as people that like, you know, CeeDee Lamb and, like, some other guys sort of up there. Like, I actually kind of like him in the same conversation. But he's, you know, the wide receiver two on his team, you know. So I think he naturally fits there. Again, if you sort of put a wide receiver one like Jamar Chase on the other side of Lamb, like it would be a horror show in Dallas, right? Like, and I'm not saying that Amari Cooper belonged there, right? He's not the same guy as a guy like Jamar Chase, but when CeeDee Lamb was sort of slotted into two, that offense really cooked. And that, you know, they had a really good three or two, you know, depending on how you want to rank the guys with, when Gallup was healthy as well there. So you kind of see like how these guys look a bit similar, and are very, they're different in terms of their, hey, look, Kelce scored a touchdown. That's awesome. Again, I'm watching Sunday Night Football. I have it on in the background, and this game is potentially shooting out, which is quite fun. But yeah, anyways, so Higgins, I really like him, and I kind of like him as a discount play on some guys that are ahead of him. So good performance there for him, and carried me to a win in my home league that I talk about sometimes, and he was a big, big part of that this week. Overcame like a zero from Baker Mayfield. So it's a good performance there for him. Hayden Hurst, 33 routes this week on 42 dropbacks, only three targets. Again, he's still pretty much monopolizing that role. Mitchell Wilcox ran seven routes, did more of a blocking role there, played 24 snaps out of 66. So again, it's more of a little bit more of a blocking role there for him. Again, Hayden Hurst will come and go a bit, 2 for 28 in this game. So nothing you're going to write home about. But if you like played that as like a tight end two or something like that, or in a flex, and some premium formats, like, all right, it's 6.8 points. Like, you don't love it, but you get away with it type of deal. So, yeah, so that's the big deal. Again, I think the big question here is, when's Chase come back? When's P. Ryan, you know, what's P. Ryan's status look like with Mixon out? P. Ryan's going to be a top 12 play, I think, in probably any week that Mixon's out. Very much the Madison effect potentially in play. They actually play Tennessee next week, which of all the teams you'd want to see P. Ryan go against, that's the last one, because they have an awesome run defense and have really held it down so far this year. So yeah, so that's where they're at. For Pittsburgh, you know, Deontay Johnson still almost 100% route participation, gets five targets. Like, all right, doesn't do much with them. 4 for 21. That's kind of a bummer. Pickens, 41 routes, five targets. He does a bit more, 4 for 83 and a touchdown. Again, I still think that Deontay Johnson is undervalued. So again, we talk about guys making a dynasty trade, you know, where maybe he's a little bit depressed value right now. But again, I still kind of like the situation. That is a place that I'm willing to buy, especially kind of in that wide receiver three type cost. Like, that's kind of where he's going, a keep trade cut well behind Pickens. I'm definitely interested in buying that. So that's really the story there. And then there's not a ton, like Steven Sims and Gunnar Olszewski splitting the other routes really in this wide receiver core, but you're not super interested there. Maybe the biggest news, couple of the biggest pieces here, come from the tight end of the running back spot. So 67 snaps for Najee Harris, 37 routes, 20 carries. All 20 of the running back carries were Najee Harris carries. So that feels very much like rookie year Najee Harris. I said that Mike Tomlin went and just like backed up a bus and parked it directly on top of Najee Harris in a press conference a couple of weeks ago. And it feels to me that he very much did that in the way of like, I'm going to motivate you, kind of like the way that Shanahan did some of the motivational stuff for Dante Pettis, which was, again, one of those things I will always chuckle at when you bring up Dante Pettis's name. But this is robust. I'm interested in buying low/high, whatever cost Najee Harris is going at. If it's not in the top 10 of running backs, like, he's a buy. That's the take. That's the take. He's back, I think. Puts, by the way, Jaylen Warren, three snaps, ties Benny Snell, who also had three snaps. So yeah, I'm interested in Najee Harris. That's a big opportunity. The other one, 11 targets for Pat Freiermuth. I wonder if Kyle Pitts is going to miss time. Is Pat Freiermuth in a first gettable for Kyle Pitts? And if it is, my God, like, I'm interested. I really am interested. I don't know if Freiermuth, we've probably had this conversation. I've mused about this. I think I mused about it last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. I don't know. Things are starting to blend together. So it happens in like week 11. But I'm like, Freiermuth, if you're looking for next generation after Kelce, which, by the way, Kelce's like destroying Sunday Night Football as I'm watching it. But if you're looking for next generations after Kelce, it A, may be a few years, but B, I think Freiermuth really puts himself in that conversation. Right. When you look at some of his metrics, I don't see like a clear case that a guy like Hockenson's better than him. I don't see like there's not a lot of super clear cases after after like Andrews, right? So I look at this and coming into this game, I don't have the full updated numbers here for this week from PFF, but you look 1.69 yards per route run, frankly, in an offense that I think is, there's plenty of evidence to suggest, for example, that this offense is actually a bit of a disappointment, or is underperforming their capabilities this year. Again, you point to a guy like Deontay Johnson, who's consistently been pretty good and is struggling this year, in that climate with a rookie quarterback who we have some questions about and hasn't really shown that well, to see Freiermuth kind of dominate in that landscape, with guys like Pickens, with other target hogs like Deontay Johnson, that's super interesting. And you look at him, for example, right next to Hockenson in terms of yards per route run. I think given everything that's happened this year, right, if those two guys are performing equally in terms of yards per route run, I think you feel better about Freiermuth, considering I think he's been swimming into a much tougher current than a guy like Hockenson is. So that would sort of be the thing that I would think about. Again, is what's the spread between him and Pitts? I'm interested in exploring that as a if it's a first. I don't know if you're gonna get that. But I'm super interested to try. I'm interested to try and see, because I think Freiermuth's really interesting going forward. Excited about where he's at. Again, and if you're shooting for like top three, again, does he have all the way to get home to tight end one? I think Andrews is the next apparent guy for that. But he's a generation younger. You should use a generation. He's an era younger, I guess, at tight end than a guy like Goddard is. Like, we like Goddard, for example, but Goddard's going to be 28 in January, and Freiermuth just turned 24. So there's a big difference there in terms of age, and you feel pretty good about where where Freiermuth is thus far in his career. So that's the pitch for Freiermuth. Excited about this. This is a good this is a good performance here from him this week. Again, over his last three games, targets 11 this week, 7 last week, 7 in week 8, and then 9 in week 7. I think there's a bye week there. I think he was hurt a week too. I think he missed a week in there as well. Either a bye or an injury. I think he missed week 9 with an injury. But yeah, so you feel pretty good about that, that workload there. Pretty consistent level of play. Again, 8 for 79. That's an awesome 2 PPR game. Like, that's a really good 1 PPR game. Like, that's and without a touchdown. Like, that's a really good performance there for him. And I think one of the only few guys that can really sort of get to that level this year. So, excited about Freiermuth going forward. All right. So, that is it, actually. So, we're all the way through. So, I've done all of this on Sunday night. So, again, I'm not going to get all of your sort of like, hey, here's your sort of expectation stuff in this podcast, because I wanted to get it out to you as soon as I could possibly get it out. Again, I'm supposed to travel on Monday as well, but my two-year-old's upstairs throwing up. So if you're familiar, if you've been at AOD for a while, you know the McNamara family plan on traveling is to begin every trip with my two-year-old throwing up. So not great. And I don't think we're going to get on a plane with her throwing up like we did last time, which was thoroughly awful. So we'll see here. Maybe this will actually be a stay-home trip. We'll have to eat some of the costs of the Disney trip. And and that'll be kind of where we go, or whatnot. But yeah, so and maybe it'll turn into an AOD writing week. Who knows? But we'll have to see there. We're being flexible. We're being open to it. But I did, you know, in that, with sort of that intent in mind of actually traveling tomorrow, I wanted to get all this stuff out and, you know, and the short week. But we'll see. So plans are going to be changing probably as we go forward. And maybe that'll just mean more AOD content. So, but again, I will have, I will update your HHG matrix. I will, so look for that. I'll probably do that tonight after I record, after I put these shows up. And I will have a waiver show as well. And I want to do some trade stuff as well. So I will have those things out. Again, HHG will just be in HHG form on the site. That'll be updated. So take a look at that. And then your waiver show, you'll have it 10 minutes or less, and you'll get some trade stuff as well. So, and I don't think I'm going to do a, we'll have to see what the week brings. I'm not sure I'm going to do the Friday show in its same form. I might do something a little bit different. But I don't think I'm going to do the Friday show because with everything on Thursday as well, like it kind of breaks up the week in a way that I don't think that's super useful. So maybe I'll just run down some injury stuff as well, you know, from there. So, all right, that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variants, and we will talk again very soon.